to the welcome everyone to the first edition of the 3ND podcast.
Woo!
I'm your host Mark King,
and this is Joseph Walter.
Got a lot of stuff for you tonight. We after been a very long day for us. We've been shooting video all day, but now we're here to talk about lots of NBA stuff, lots of Grizzly stuff. Since it's obviously our first podcast, we have not talked about lots of the things that have already been talked about out there, so bear with us as we go through our kind of thoughts of what we think about different stuff that's happened during the summer. Some things are obvious, some things are less obvious. Obviously, this podcast, 3ND Podcast, will be myself, Mark King, a partner, Joseph Walters. We will be doing this throughout the season. We're going to be doing this hopefully a couple times per week, maybe Tuesdays and Thursdays. Haven't really worked out the dates yet, so just hang with us. So the podcast, go out and follow us on Twitter, at 3ND Pod. We're not doing Facebook and Instagram. That's just too much.
We'll get there eventually. You know, it's episode one, so we'll figure we'll start with Twitter and go from there, right?
Yeah, it's just so much stuff to take care of. Like, I understand the value of social media. I get it. But it's just so much because, like, you know, I already have personal accounts I run. I own a couple of businesses in the city that I have to run those too. And so, like, honestly, the Twitter account's probably going to be mainly for just, like, updates and posting the pods, posting the episodes, things like that. So
maybe throwing out the schedule once we kind of figure out, you know, how often and when we're going to be doing the pod. But yeah, just kind of update everybody. I don't think we're going to be putting out tons of content via Twitter.
No. Don't look for us to be breaking any news. that is for damn sure. But yeah, go out and follow us. You can follow me on my personal handle at King_producer. If you want to interact and you want to talk basketball with me, go out and talk to me there. I don't really do anything other than Twitter. Joe?
You can follow me on Twitter at JRWalter4.
And I don't think you're not a big Twitter guy, are you?
I'm not a big Twitter guy.
Which is like the weirdest thing. The weirdest thing ever to me.
So
I know you told me that once, and I just think that's odd, like, for people not to be on Twitter.
You know, I used to be very, very big into Twitter, but Instagram about 2 years ago, it kind of took the place of Twitter for me. I can still follow, you know, the right accounts and be able to get the same information that I get on Twitter, except that usually it's just a great photo for me to look at instead of, you know, having to read the 184 characters. That's pure laziness right there.
I get it. I mean, I guess I get it. I don't really get it. Whatever. Everybody, you know what? To each their own. Shoot your shot, man. So if you want to talk to Joe, if you want to hang out with Joe, go on Instagram.
JRWalter4.
Which is the weirdest thing ever. But, again, dude, whatever. Let's move on. So let's talk about NBA news first. Let's talk about some of the things that have happened over the past month or so, some of the big things. I'm going to start with the NBA eliminated the – or NBA tried to make the resting of players a little bit more difficult for players, a little easier on franchises. They eliminated 4 games in 5-night stretches. They also limited national TV games on second nights of back-to-back. We saw a lot of that last year, especially with Popovich, the resting players on second nights of back-to-backs. And the big thing about this was because of the only reason people cared was because it was on the back it was on a national TV game where they wanted to see LeBron play or they wanted to see Steph play. So
when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, it's about dollars. Well, you know that these different, you know, that they're ABC and TNT, they pay a lot of money to have these primetime games, and when they're having them on a end of the back to the you know, on the second end of a back-to-back, and they don't play LeBron, don't play Kyrie, wherever it is, I mean, all that's doing is making the TV companies angry.
No, I get it. No, I do get it. I understand it. But that was the biggest thing was people or players not playing in national televised games. Like you said, the ABCs and the Disneys of the world and the TNTs of the world, the Turner Sports of the world, really care if that player is playing on in prime time because eyeballs are dollars for them. Every person watching in every household is dollars for them. So I get it. I don't know if this is going to help. Do you think this will help eliminate that at all?
You know, I don't think it will. I mean, I think it'll definitely, you know, help for the TV markets and having some of the primetime players play all the time. But, you know, I definitely think that if Greg Popovich wants to rest Kawhi Leonard, that he's going to do it whenever he wants to do it. And it's not going to have anything to do with whether they're on a second night of a back-to-back or whether they're on national television. Whenever he wants Kawhi Leonard to take a break, he's going to take a break. It doesn't matter. He doesn't care.
That's probably fair. And if we're sitting as Grizzlies, as we both are Grizzlies fans, if we think that Marc Gasol should probably rest against a back-to-back in the middle of January against a Brooklyn Nets of the world, then we should rest him. And I don't think the Grizzlies fans should get mad about that. Nor do I think other fans don't in the area don't care, first of all, about Marc Gasol resting. No one cares but us. But no one should be getting mad about this. So I don't know if this is going to help. I don't know if this is going to change anything at all, especially the four games of five nights. It's great because, honestly, it's tiring getting to that many, either going to that many games or watching that many games. So I can't imagine how the players feel. So I don't know if it's going to help. We'll see. I hope it does. I really enjoy whenever we're sitting in to watch primetime games, seeing all the players play, but I do understand that side of it. That is a very long season. It is a very long season. Probably 20 games too much.
20 games too much for sure.
But this is just where we're at in life. So let's move on. Let's talk just a minute. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but the Cavs and Kyrie. Where does Kyrie go? LeBron James reportedly wants to leave. I think we all knew he wanted to leave in 2018, but it's more concrete evidence. I think it was Woj that tweeted out. I can't remember if it was Woj, but that LeBron James definitely wants to leave. Why are the Cavs such a dumpster fire, first of all?
I mean, that's A number one is Dan Gilbert. I mean, that's, you know, I wish that there was a better reason than just to go straight to ownership with this answer. But when it comes down to it, it's strictly ownership. When the owner of the team writes this open letter to LeBron James when he leaves to Miami, you know, LeBron has, I mean, I guess he's taken him back. You know, he's went back to Cleveland. He's won his championship. He's done what he said he was coming to do in Cleveland, and he's gone. He knows that's a dumpster fire of an organization. And I mean, I really don't blame him for trying to get out.
I don't either. I don't either. I don't honestly. I wouldn't blame him if he said the same thing Kyrie said. I want out right now. This place is a shithole, and I want out of it. I would not blame him at all. And I don't think that a lot of the fans, when he does leave, I don't think they will blame him. Let's talk about Kyrie for a second. What do we think the Cavs are going to move Kyrie before opening night? If so, where do we think the Cavs might try to move him? I know we've said that the Suns have been a popular destination because of Eric Bledsoe. I saw the Kristaps Porzingis thing pop up a couple days ago from the Knicks. Do you think he's going to be on this thing? Do you think he'll be on the roster opening night? If not, where do you think he might go, if anywhere?
I think that as of right now, I think that Kyrie will definitely be on the roster opening night. I don't think...
You think they're just going to say, we don't care if you don't want to play here, you're going to play here. You're going to play here.
When he's come out openly and saying that he wants this trade, his trade value, that's just brought him into a... That probably brought it down 30 to 40% right there when you know he wants to leave.
Right.
So, you know, what does Cleveland want back for him? I mean, I know that if I'm trading Kyrie Irving, that somebody's giving me, a top first-round draft pick and a player. And right now, I don't think that anybody's willing to go that far because they know that Cleveland has to get rid of him.
Right. They don't have a choice. He's kind of tied Cleveland's hands. I think I agree with that. And I also don't think that franchises have that much to give. You don't really see a lot of players get a haul, or a lot of superstars command a haul like we saw with the Chris Paul trade. And that is one of the very rare scenarios where you see a superstar get proper value in return. Like, take, for instance, DeMarcus Cousins. You cannot say they got, you know, the Kings got proper value in return, because a superstar is difficult to get value for because he just demands so much. I mean, there's just so much that most franchises want for him because they know his value. And most franchises don't have that to give. And so that's where the inherent problem is, and that's where it starts with Kyrie and the Cavs. And they like you said, they have limited, or he has limited the Cavs of what they can do, because people know that he wants out. People know, so they're just going to lob crap offers to him. So enough about general NBA news. Let's move on just a little bit. We just wanted to talk about, we're always going to talk about general NBA news to start the show. So if you're a Grizz fan, we are going to cater most of the Grizz fans. So just know that more likely than not, you could probably skip the first 10 minutes of the podcast and get straight to the Grizzlies news and talk more Grizzlies with us. So let's move on with an ex-Grizzly. First of all, I wanted to get your thoughts on Z-Bo and leaving. I know for me, from perspective, it's been a long time now that Z-Bo has committed to another team, but I have no fault with what happened. I commend the organization for honoring him, retiring that number. I know a lot of people naturally don't get it. Everybody in Memphis gets it, and that's all that matters. But go get paid. Go get your money.
Yeah, go get your money. Go get that paper, boo-boo.
But you know what you don't do? Go get 2 pounds of weed. That's what you don't do.
I mean, it's even legal in California now.
I think he had too much. He had over the legal limit, right?
That's
the scenario.
2 pounds is... two pounds is a lot of butt.
For anybody, that's a lot of weed.
Yeah.
Like if you've never seen marijuana before... Google
that's
it.
A lot of
you
it.
You should Google it because that's a lot.
That's
lot
a lot of
weed.
It. I know that. My thing with Z-Bo is, yeah, I mean, by all means, like I said, get that paper, boo boo. But on the other hand, what do you think would happen if he was still in Memphis and he was still a Grizzly and he got caught with 2 pounds of weed? Do you think we'd
ever
wouldn't
get caught?
Exactly.
It would have never happened.
Exactly.
That's the difference. We got you, Z-Bo.
Yeah, like if you
understand, you equate to winning. We want to win. Don't worry about it. You don't have to. We don't need this. But it ain't like that in California. They don't care.
No. Like you're just another fish, you know, in LA, and not even a big fish, you know. So in Memphis, you are the fish, you know.
Absolutely, you're it.
Yeah, I mean,
you're it.
There's not a more recognizable person in the city of Memphis than Zach Randolph.
Right, and if you're going to do weed, I mean, this podcast does not condone drug use. But if you're going to get it, if you're going to go out and get it, send someone else.
So do not
physically, I mean, you make millions of dollars here, right? Like, just send someone else.
So the next question is, I mean... You know that it wasn't on his person. I bet it was in a car that's registered to him.
You don't think it was even him?
I mean, there was a whole bunch of people at this thing. It was like a big old block party. So I guarantee you that it was in a car registered. He didn't have 2 pounds of weed under his arms or anything, man. I think it was just in a car registered. Well, moral of the story will come out as we make our way there.
More of the story before we move on. If you have enough money, have someone else get your drugs for you.
Yes, absolutely.
We don't condone the use of drugs. But if you're going to do it, be smart about it. All right, let's move on. Jermichael Green, Tony Allen, still out there, still unsigned. I did not think we would be talking about the schedules before we got to before Jermichael Green was signed. But here we are, and this is what we're doing. So let's do it. Jermichael Green, a lot of us thought that he would get around the $13-14 million range if there was someone like a Nets or someone that was crazy that would just wanted to, you know, we always say it only takes one team for restricted free agents. And so we wouldn't initially thought that. Some stuff came out with his agent, who is terrible, by the way, clearly. And now he's just sitting there. There's been no news in months. Nothing's happening with Jermichael Green. I know this happened with Tristan Thompson before.
Yeah, last year.
I think he took it all the way into training.
He did. It went to. I was going to bring that up.
Do you think that we get into? Do you think we're going to get into a Jermichael Green training camp situation?
I hope not. I mean, I don't. Do I think Jermichael Green is a top tier starting power forward in the NBA? No.
He's. I don't. Let's get that. Let's make that very clear. Jermichael Green is a fringe starter in the NBA as a
Absolutely.
Power forward. Okay, so he's not a top caliber starter. We both agree on that. That's for sure. But that being said, he's still important to what the Grizzlies need to do.
I mean, absolutely. Right now, depth-wise, I mean, what are we going to do with power forward?
First of all, we sign every player we can. We sign every player we can, and then we'll deal with it later. JaMychal Green is very important to what the Grizzlies want to do. And so, especially, like you said, especially now, if they don't sign him now, there isn't much else out there as a free agent. And so you really even more so depend on Chandler Parsons, and we'll get to him later, to even play like a small ball four type of thing. So I'm not real sure what they do. What do you think that the Grizzlies, should they just offer it? What do you think they should offer him, first of all? If they haven't already, we don't know if they have or haven't. It doesn't sound like they have. It sounds like they're still waiting out to see what everybody, what else happens. What do you think they should offer him?
I still think, I mean, this is kind of, I guess, why he hasn't been signed, is what is that number? If you're J. Mike, are you saying, you know, I'm going to take my 1 year and I'm going to, you know, make this my free agent year and, you know, play ball out and really bet on yourself, kind of like a Tyreek Evans is doing? Or, you know, or does he want something long term?
I think it's best for him to take something long term. I think the Grizzlies should go out and try to get him somewhere around $7 million a year for 3 years, $21 million total, something around that area. Because I think that he would go get there because I think he understands now that his services weren't as valued as much as he thought they were, and as much as some of us even at the end of last year thought that he might be come restricted free agency time. So I think he would take that. But I think for JaMychal Green, taking a one-year deal for him is a bad idea. I don't know how much better he's going to get, because I think if they offer him that three-year deal, I think at that end of the third year, it might even be a mediocre contract. I don't think they're winning that contract at that point. If they are, it's probably a push. And so I think for him, if he were to take a one-year deal, it might get worse. Like next year, it might be worse. And because he's never had a payday, right? He's 27, I think. He's never had a payday. So this is his
undrafted, like, Alabama Roll Tide.
Jeez, we're not going to get into that. Not doing that right now. But so this is his one payday to like kind of set himself up for what his should be like the rest of his life, right? Like if he manages money right, which most players don't, but hopefully he does. So like, I think if you go out and offer him, hey, 3 years, give him $21 million, I think he takes that. I hope he takes it for his sake. I think if he bets on himself, I think it's a bad idea.
I think that if we could get him at $7 million a year, I think that's all that I'd want. I just don't see how we can offer him much more. I know that we need him right now because we have no depth at the power forward position. So it's, you know, I think that that's all we can offer the guy. And I think that I think he should take it if that's what we were offering. But, you know, it's like we're saying, what's in his mind? Is he thinking bet on myself, or is he thinking, let me take a, you know, a 3 year deal and make some money? I don't know.
I think it's a very fine line to walk, because I think that with the Grizzlies anyway, I think if you come in and you say, oh, I'm going to give him $4 or $5 million a year and try to give him for 3 years and you really lowball him, you know, I think that goes a long way to, even if he does sign and you lowball him, I think it goes a long way to just, in his mind during the season, like, you know, these guys don't care about me. All they care about is a bottom dollar. You know, no matter how much Coach David Fizdale says he's important to the team, he knows that's not the case because they didn't even try to offer me. So I think this is a very fine line, and it's a difference between $2 million, you know, $1.5 million, give him the $1.5 million, make him go for the extra, like, hey, this is for you for being loyal, all that stuff. Take care of your player kind of thing. So I think that if it comes down to that, you know, I would be more inherently, let's go towards the top end of that scale. Just for the sake of player development and just peace of mind and all that stuff.
And winning games.
and winning games for sure. I mean, that obviously that's the biggest thing. Same along lines, Jermichael Green, Tony Allen. There's obviously not a whole lot of news here. We had seen some stuff from the Clippers a while back. I know that's I've talked to people that's definitely dead. We've seen some stuff from the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think he would actually fit really well there. But I don't think he's going to – obviously, everybody's general assumption is he's not going to be back in Memphis. But could he be back in Memphis? I think it depends on him taking a veteran's minimum deal. And I don't think Tony's going to do that just for the sake of his pride. I think he thinks he's worth more than that.
I think I'm on the other hand. I think that if we wanted to, that we could sign him for the vet minimum.
But do you want to?
If it was me, I would have signed. If Tony Allen would sign for the vet minimum, I would have signed him the first day of free agency for the vet minimum. But I am a huge grandfather TA guy. I'm in love with the guy. Always have been. So that's also, you know, putting my, you know, that's a little bit of bias on my part as well. Just, you know, 7 straight years.
That's your fan coming out.
There's
nothing wrong with that. I think that it's very obvious that they are moving on from Tony.
They're
moving on for Tony and Zebo in a very real way.
So about that, I mean, do you think a part of me thinks that Fizdale was ready to have those two guys gone, that he was ready to have a new locker room regime, because, you know, it wasn't Mike and Mark that ran that locker room. It was Tony and Zach that ran that locker
room.
Right,
yep.
And part of me thinks that Fiz was just ready for that, you know, piece of the locker room to be gone and to start fresh, start with what he wants to do, you know, build the program, you know, as they would say, you know, build this franchise into a winner, into what he wants in his mind. And I don't really think those two guys fit what he was looking to do. And now I think that, you know, I think that Fiz played a pretty big part in this, to be completely honest with you. What do you think?
I don't necessarily disagree with it. I know that Fiz and obviously Zach had their differences, you know, with the coming off the bench as well as Tony. But you know, Mark and Fiz had just as many disagreements. It was definitely behind the scenes, but they definitely happened when Mark gets all moody. But Fiz is a guy by all accounts, I mean, everything we've seen, everything we've heard him say since he's been here in Memphis is that he does not bullshit with you. Like, it seems to be a straight shooter. You know, I was at the take that for that old thing. We'll talk more about Fiz later in the show because some stuff came out today with him. But, you know, he seems like a genuine guy that does not take no for an answer and tells you exactly what he means. And so, you know, I don't necessarily disagree with that. I don't know that that's the case. No one knows. But it's definitely – I wouldn't disagree with it at all, for sure. Let's move on. Ben McLemore signing in the offseason. And then he obviously does what Grizzlies do. And he broke his foot. Because that's like a Grizzly thing. It's like a rite of passage, right? So if you become a Grizzly, you have to break something or injure your knee before you can play here. And so this is just he's just doing what everybody is supposed to do. But he broke his pinky toe. Excuse me, he fractured his pinky toe. I think in his left foot. Usually a 12-week rehab should be back earlier than November. Silver lining is that he obviously won't be back. Won't be gone missing that much of the season for the first few weeks. The season moves up this year, starts a little earlier. But he should return. But he does miss training camp. Misses all that time that you would normally, especially on a new team. Get to know other players' habits and rhythms and how the coaching staff likes to run things, all of that stuff. So what does this do for the Grizzlies, if anything? Does it do anything at all? Do you care?
I think the one thing that I think it really does is, so when we're looking at the Grizzlies roster right now, we're going to have...
Like all 29 players.
All 33 of them.
Yeah.
We're going to have to cut or move somebody. Right. So I think that beforehand that there was, you know, a slight chance that maybe Troy Daniels is with that package, because he's, I mean, when you look at assets that we have to trade, what do we have? Jarrell Martin, you know, we have Andrew Harrison. We have all these horrible draft picks that we've made in the last 5 years. So we have nobody to move. So I think that Troy Daniels is an actual NBA player. Like, the guy can shoot the daylights out of the ball. He's an actual NBA player. And that is the
You're on the Troy Daniels train.
I'm not on the Troy Daniels train, but I think he can play in the league.
I'm on the Troy Daniels train. I'm the damn conductor of it.
Okay.
I don't care. Okay? If they move Troy Daniels, I'd be upset. I mean, I think he has value. Let me rephrase this. I don't think Fizz likes Troy Daniels, but I think he brings value to the team in something they haven't had in a very long time. And if you could put him in a certain lineup that he does well in, that can compensate for his deficiencies, which is defense and guarding the perimeter, especially, I think he can help you on a nightly basis.
I think he can too, and that's why I think that he is our only asset. So
trade? You talking about for a trade?
For a trade, okay. He is our only asset. So, but if we were to get rid of Troy Daniels now, Ben McLemore is our shooter, who's injured for the first part through November.
What does this do for? I assume, this is my assumption, that we would have that Wayne Selden would step in and see what happens with Wayne Selden. He had a great summer league. I was there. I got to watch him. It was awesome. He had a great summer league. But what does that translate to actual NBA player? We don't know yet. And so I think this is a good situation for Wayne Selden to see what he's got. It's got, you know, 3 weeks of the season until McLemore would be coming back. You could put him out there, and if it doesn't work, you could immediately go to any of the other 38 players you have.
Right.
It doesn't matter. So, like, I think this is a situation where Wayne Selden could prove his value and make even someone else even more expendable, like a Troy Daniels, more expendable if you have someone like Wayne that can shoot the ball. You know, he's not a flat-out shooter like Troy is, but he can shoot the ball relatively well, but he also does a lot of things that Troy doesn't do, which is defense.
Athleticism, rebounding.
Exactly. He does a lot of things that Troy doesn't do. And so I think this is a Wayne Selden tryout, if you will, to see if he's an actual NBA player. And from all accounts, I think that Fizz thinks that he is a legitimate NBA player and can play in the league.
I think Fizz does too. I know just everything I hear about him from, you know, out of Glenn Cyprian's mouth, who is the G League coach, of course, you know, he loves the guy and thinks that he is a legitimate NBA player. And if Sip says it, then I'm all in with Sip.
I love Sip. He's a very intelligent guy, very cool guy. So I'm with you. If Sip says it, I would likely tend to agree. Along the same lines of the Troy Daniels, let's talk a little bit about our roster situation. We've mentioned it as a joke several times already, that we have roughly 43 players, and we don't know who to cut. So let's just talk about, first of all, who we think is actually going to be on the roster, who is the most movable of the roster, and then the most important, our team has the only second-round pick, our only pick in this draft at all, that has not been signed, and not even Rab. And reportedly, he's not here. So what do the Grizzlies need to do from here to show up the roster and move on to move on to a training camp with an actual 15-man roster?
Well, they're going to have to do a lot because, as you said, we have joked about there's 23 players on this roster.
Legitimately. Does that count? Doesn't count Ivan Rabb, though, does it?
I'm looking at ESPN.com roster, and it's right now it's counting Tony Allen and Ivan Rabb.
Okay, so let's not count Tony Allen, because he's obviously not a guy that's going to be in a long-term Grizzly situation. He could be, but it would be surprise the hell out of everybody, I think. So what is the 22?
Looks like we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
So we can count to 18.
And we can. That is including J-Mike.
Okay, so that includes J-Mike. So 18 players. So they've got to cut three players, or if Ivan Rabb goes to that other two-way contract, which is, I think, one of the most likely scenarios for him, that would put them to 17 players would have to either move or waive to get to 15 for opening night. The two-way contracts, Dylan Brooks. Did you count Dylan Brooks?
I counted Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks does not count. He's already on a, Dylan Brooks should count Kobe Simmons. He should not be on there because he's on a two-way. Those do not count. So if Ivan Rabb moves there, we'll have to move those players. So who is not going to be on the roster opening night?
As you disagreed with me earlier this week, I want to say that, and I know it's difficult, but Wade Baldwin. That was a pretty pitiful summer league performance he put on. He looked like he had no idea how to run a team. He was made the captain of the team, and I watched. I know you were there. I watched every single game. He sure didn't look like a captain to me.
Well, I the problem with Wade Baldwin is that I don't think that they're likely to give up on a player they just drafted and kind of dump him yet, especially waive him now. Now, if he's in a trade, that's a more likely scenario. And I wouldn't put that out of the realm of possibility. I'm just saying, as far as just waiving him and dumping him.
Yeah, I don't think that we're going to waive him or dump him. I just think that he, if we have a piece that somebody wants, that probably is it. I don't know why you'd want him, for besides that he's 6'4" and a freak athlete.
I will say this: he did not have a bad of a summer league as everybody tends to claim. Relative standards, yes, he was not good. That's very true. But he wasn't awful, if that makes sense. I mean, he wasn't great, but he was just average, and he wasn't awful. It was much better than last year. But yes, I agree with you. He's got some things that he has to seriously improve on to be a legitimate NBA player. Let's just be real. If Andrew Harrison, I love Andrew Harrison, but if he's the one in front of you and you can't beat out him for your roster spot, they are problems. They are serious problems. For me, I think probably least likely is going to be Jarrell Martin. He is the one out of all the summer league, is the guy that you thought, okay, he's been on the team for several years. He's been on the tutelage of Zebo and Marc Gasol. He's seen these guys, even if he's hurt.
Probably the best athlete on the team.
Right, he's seen these guys play. He understands like what it is to be an NBA player, all these things. So like out of all the players that are there in summer league, one of the older guys too, he should be the one dominating the summer league, and he was non-existent.
That last game, he came out, I think he was 4-4. Yeah,
he had one good game.
12 right. points in the first quarter of that game, and I was thinking, this is it. He's played four games. He's ready. Here we go. This is the Jarrell Martin I've wanted to see for 3 years.
The Jarrell Martin that you want to see 3 years does not exist. It's nowhere to be found.
And then after 4-4, literally 0 points and zero rebounds the rest of the game.
So, like, for me, I think Jarrell Martin will be the most likely. They've seen what he can do. He's been injured, but he's had enough time on the roster to know that, okay, this is probably not going to work out. If they waive somebody and just straight dump somebody, I think the most likely candidate for that is Jarrell Martin. As far as trade assets, I think you're looking at most likely Brandon Wright, depending on what happens with Jamichael.
By the way,
if Jamichael isn't back, you definitely have to have him step in as the fourth pick. What, Brandon Wright? I mean, he definitely doesn't want to sit on the bench.
I don't blame him.
I mean, I don't blame him either. So, I mean, if Jamichael is back, like we all expect him to be, I think Brandon Wright still sees the writing on the wall that there are players in front of him and he's not going to play. He's not going to play in front of those players. He's not going to play in front of Marc Gasol. He's not going to play in front of Jamichael Green. That just isn't going to happen. He's not going to play in front of Chandler Parsons. Those sort of things are just it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so he sees the writing on the wall and says, hey, you know what? I just want to be here because if I'm not going to, like you said, I want to play. I want to sit on the bench. I feel like I'm good enough to be contributing to an NBA team. And he is. And so I think he's probably the most likely candidate to be moved, probably packaged with some asset of a young guy that people think can either develop or something like that. So roster situation, it obviously has to clear things up. We, you know, all 61 guys cannot play. And so Anyway, let's move on. The latest and greatest news. Actually, let's get to current news. Current news. So it happened a couple nights ago, Tayshaun, or maybe two nights ago. Was this yesterday? I don't know. Tayshaun Prince named special assistant to the GM of the Grizzlies, and every office joke known to man has come out in the woodwork on Twitter. That is exactly what I thought when they named him special assistant to the GM for the Grizzlies. I saw him with Chris Wallace in Summer League at one of the games. Him and Chris Wallace were sitting on the front row. I noticed that. I think I tweeted it, and like, it didn't strike me as odd then, and now I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense. You know, like I didn't think about that when I was in Vegas because I just didn't think anything out of the normal, which I should, because like he's not on our roster. I should have thought, well, this is weird. I mean, this is something I just didn't. It just kind of glossed over it, and so
former player hanging out with GXGM,
right? Just kind of glossed over it, and so now this makes more sense. What do you think? Does this do anything for the Grizzlies? Player development? What does this mean? And if anything, for us, team?
I can tell you that I was sitting on my couch last night, and this notification came across my phone that this has happened, and I believe all I did was giggle and then turn my phone immediately back off.
Did you giggle because of the joke, or did you just giggle because you thought it was funny?
I just giggled because...
Wait, that's right. You don't watch The Office, which is even weirder than you not being on Twitter.
I do not watch The Office.
We're going to have to...
Or Game of Thrones.
Good Lord, we are going to have to... It's going to be a long season.
I watch
season.
Sports, man. I don't care about TV shows.
I do, too. But I make time for The Office because it's hilarious. Anyway, so you didn't giggle because of the
show. I got a good giggle. I just got the notification from Score Mobile that Tayshaun had become the assistant to the GM for the Grizzlies. And I just got a good giggle out of it. I don't really know why. I just think it's... I don't know what... I really just don't even know what this role means. What do you think it is?
I think it's exactly what it sounds like. It's special assistant to the... No, it is. I think it's more of a player development role. I think it's one of those things where a player wants to be in a front office role eventually. He wants to probably be a GM, and so this is one of the ways to kind of get there, to learn. If I don't know what you're learning from Chris Wallace, but if you can learn anything, Chris Wallace... building relationships, that's a lot about what being a GM is knowing people, building relationships. And so
we have learned over the course of our last 10 years here that a GM is not have anything to do with drafting good players.
That's very true. They're not one and the same at all.
No,
they don't relate. Well, at least not in our world anyway. And so, but for Tayshaun Prince, I think that it's exactly that. It's a learning opportunity for him to be in a situation where he can build relationships for a future career as a GM. I don't think it means anything for day-to-day. I don't think it means anything for trade offers. I don't think it means anything as far as influencing what Chris Wallace does or does not do. But I think it's good to have him because generally players seem to like him. He's always been a very cool dude from afar, as much as I can tell.
He's a great player.
He was a very good player. I mean, so by all accounts, it's someone that people respect, someone that people can have a relationship with. So I think it's good.
He's been on winning Cole. I mean, he's been on the most successful Grizzlies team of all
time.
That's
very true.
He's won rings. He's been on, he knows what a winning franchise looks like.
Exactly. And so he brings a culture. I think that's exactly. There's nothing else there to it. I think that's it. There's nothing deeper than other than that's exactly what it is.
Really, what I thought about this morning is I kind of wish that Tubby Smith would have hired him
For the Tigers.
For the Tigers, played.
That's a laughing joke.
Tayshaun played for Tubby.
That's true. He did.
So,
play for Tubby, so
I mean, maybe he'll help the Tiger recruiting trail while he's at it.
You know, the only
that's a whole other podcast.
This is not a Tigers podcast. We're not going to get into it now. But the only thing that probably helped them recruiting is Penny Hardaway. We're going to leave it at that. There's not a whole lot that can help Tubby Smith on the recruiting trail. Last thing, before we get out of this, literally just happened. I do want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it that much. I don't feel like we're probably the best people to know to be experts on this. But so Coach David Fizdale just had this huge kind of rant, if you will, on what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia. If you haven't seen it, definitely go watch it. It's there's a transcript on commercialappeal.com. I'm not sure what – I know there's a video of it somewhere. I don't know where it's living. Definitely on – there's a transcript on of it on commercialappeal.com. But basically, it was an entire rant on bringing down statues in the city of Memphis. Let me see if I can pull some quotes. Anyway, he was very outspoken of all the civil rights. I don't know if he feels like he has to because he's in Memphis or he's the coach of Memphis. I don't think that's the case. I think he just is generally – I mean, if you watch the video, which I did see, he is genuinely upset. I mean, he's like – take that for data ran upset. Like, he was genuinely upset. Same thing here. Like, he's genuinely upset, like, about this cause. And so one of the quotes from him is about the statues in the city of Memphis is, quote, "Take them down. I don't know what the hesitation is. I don't know what we're debating on. Whatever, get those things down immediately. We got to do it," end quote. So, I mean, I know this is not a race podcast. Like I said, again, we're probably not the best. We're not the experts. But what do you think this means for the Grizzlies? What do you think it means for the city of Memphis? I know this is probably something that will offend some people, which it shouldn't. But it will offend some people in this city. As a coach, speaking out on things like this, typically we don't ever see coaches speak out like this. They kind of stay in their lane for fear, like I said, of isolating people, of fear of angering their fan base. But like we said earlier, by all accounts, Coach David Fizdale is the guy that takes no BS and does not care and says exactly what he thinks. We saw that earlier this year with the take that for data thing. Obviously, this is a whole different scenario and a much more real conversation. But I mean, what does it mean for the Grizzlies here?
You know, he's been pretty outspoken before. If you'll remember last season, he came out and was talking about how, you know, growing up in California when he did, about having to, you know, just being out with friends and, you know, being pulled over by the cops and them all taken out and thrown on the ground. Yeah. So, you know, this is something that I think that he's very passionate about. And as a Grizzlies fan, you know, I'm not really worried about him speaking out on these issues. It's not something
I don't think anybody should be worried about that.
Either. Yeah, you know, there's definitely, of course, those people that are probably like, he shouldn't be looking at things in Charlottesville. He should be watching film, you know. But I don't think this is, you know, here's a direct quote from him. "I can't sit and watch this. Not in a city where Dr. King was assassinated 50 years ago. Where we have even today in our city statue a known Klansman right here in the beautiful city of Memphis with all these incredible, wonderful people." So, you know, it's something to me that if it's something that he's very passionate about and he wants to speak up on, then do it. I don't really care. Let's tip it off and play basketball.
I think for me, as a person who has grown up and seen inherently racist people, because of that's just how you live. I grew up in a place where that was a very real thing. It was a place where it was very, very easy for people to be racist and not think about it, like not blink an eye. You know, it was not, you know, so for me, I think it's a very I'm proud to think that we have a coach that cares enough about this city and about other people's rights and other, you know, to speak out and not care, not give a damn about what everybody else thinks. Because you already see a lot of people, well, I'm not going to a game if my coaches think, you know, it should be, like I said, it should be watching film. I'm not going to any more games. And that's bullshit. You're not going to not go to games. Like, just first of all, stop. But like, I think it's awesome. I think we should all be super proud of what Fizdale is standing up for, especially in this city where we have things like these statues that don't, you know, that are inherently racist, that should not be up. And we should bring them down. So I think it's awesome. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time about it. I don't know if we're the experts on race or we should be preaching to people. But from my point of view, from our point of view, I think, you know, I agree with you. This is a good thing for Grizzlies. It's a good thing for the coach. It's a good thing for the city, for standing up for things that are obviously, it's not easy to, you know, stand up against. Like, it's not hard to say, you know what, Nazis are bad. Like, that is like a shouldn't, you know, I know we joke and we're laughing, but like, for some people, it is hard to say, like, oh yeah, Nazis are bad. But like, for us normal people, it's not hard. Yeah, Nazis are bad. This is things that shouldn't happen. So, kudos to Fizdale. I think it's awesome that he stood up for the city. And hopefully, you know, going forward, we'll get those things removed. So wrapping up, I just want to talk about what we're going to do next. So we're definitely going to have another couple of episodes over the next week. They will be going to the schedule. We're going to get much more to the schedule than we did today. We're going to be doing a pick-by-pick schedule. You'll have both of our predictions for their first 41 games and the last 41 games in two different episodes. So stay tuned for that. And then we will also be getting into, you know, how many back-to-backs we have and how many home games we have. What we kind of think about when the Cavs will play, like we talked about earlier, is it better to play a hard team on a back-to-back? You know you might lose anyway, or play someone like the Nets. So I think that that's something we'll get into. I already told you my answer. I think we should just play the Cavs. Or the Warriors, right?
I'm right there with you, and then that's the night you rest Marcus Saul.
Exactly.
But and then the next thing that, you know, we were kind of talking about earlier today is
we don't know. we've literally been together since 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. and so we've talked about a lot of things. So
we have talked about a lot of things.
Mostly basketball.
We have talked about a lot of basketball.
And still talking about basketball at 7:45.
Oh, this is what I remember now. I'm ready.
Go.
So we're talking about how LeBron didn't make his way to Memphis last year
for the game.
And how, you know, the second end of the night of back to backs, you know, the players aren't traveling, yada yada yada. So everybody was very disappointed that LeBron James didn't make the trip last year. I am the complete opposite way. If every team doesn't want to play their best player against us, I'm all down. I like victories. I like
get the W
tallies in the W column,
right.
And I like to be a higher seed because of it. And that's fine with me.
Get them how you can.
Get them how you can.
Go get the W's how you can. We'll talk to you guys next week. Hope you enjoyed the podcast with this first episode. This has been a 3D podcast. We will see you guys next week.
Have a good one.